you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
We are very glad to have our friends. I've been telling you for a while, Glenn and Becky King. We've known these guys, I was thinking, for almost 40 years. Yeah, I think it was about 1986 that I met Glenn first and then his wife, Becky. He was at that time a FedEx driver. Karen and I were 12 and 13 years old. And Glenn was just a real mentor for us. Now, I was working at a bike shop in Durango, and he used to come in. But anyway, we've watched them through the years. We were all involved. That was during our years in Durango that I've told you about, that we loved the place, but we learned what not to do in church during those years, and so did they. It was quite a time. We were talking about all the weird stuff that happened last night. But we watched them stick with the Lord and walk with God through really hard times in their life, good times in their life. They went through a period, as many of us have, of dealing with aging parents and all of that that goes on. They left Durango for the call of God and went to Tulsa, went to Bible college there with their young children. They've just been committed to the Lord. They've pastored a couple of churches together in the state, and now they're working in Uganda and doing a great ministry there. So anyway, so Glenn's going to speak to us today. I gave him 7 minutes. I gave Becky 10 minutes. They're actually going to take the rest of the time, but Becky refused and gave her time to Glenn. So anyway, welcome Glenn King as he comes to speak to us today.
You know, I actually brought her up because she's better to look at than I am. But well, it's so good to be here. You guys are just a blessing and such a solid church. And I've gotten to speak to a couple of you before the service and look forward. We will be at the thing later on. So I'd like to get to know all of you, if you can make it. We are just excited to be here in Gunnison. We actually live outside of Durango now in a little town, well, kind of up in the mountains in Mancos. So, you know, we're native Coloradoans. I've been in the area quite a bit. So, you know, I even wore my cowboy boots today. Can I get an amen? Actually, I don't wear cowboy boots very often. We have a wedding in a couple of weeks. My son's getting married, and it's Western, so I got the boots. So I'm ready to go. But to move on, we want to just jump right into sharing about the country of Uganda. And even when I say that, I'm kind of like a lot of you. I kind of almost tear up because that's where our heart is. We love the people. We love the opportunity to share about that. But I'm going to start here by giving the microphone to my lovely wife, Becky, and she is going to give you some very important information. So before we even minister, it'll be good to kind of know all the little details about the country, and she has all the smarts in the family, so she has all that information.
No, I'm just the only woman in the family that has all the details. That's how it goes at our house. I just want to say real quickly, thanks for having us, thanks for believing in us, and thank you for that praise and worship this morning. Praise God. My heart was just so moved. And, you know, I just loved that song. You know, God is good, and everything he does is good. And God is kind, and everything he does is kind. I could go home on that, you know, right now. It was just a blessing. I wanted to quickly just let you know how we ended up going to Uganda. About 15 years ago, we pastored in Durango, and it was like major blizzard. And like already almost a foot of snow on the ground before church even begins. And we're in there, and this young man walks in, sits down, and get to talking to him, and he's Ugandan. And we are stunned in our church in Durango to have this Ugandan man. And he walked over a mile in the blizzard to find a spirit-filled church in Durango, Colorado. And he found us, praise God. And it started our journey with Uganda. Our 22-year-old son went back to Uganda with him. I can't believe I let my 22-year-old son go to Africa alone once I got there. But we just fell in love with him. He has a brother named Benin Kazito, and he's our hookup there now. He was a divine appointment into our lives. We first went there in 2012 with our son. He had been working in a lot of schools. He had been doing the school building, the well digging, and he started a medical clinic there. And that was our first trip there to help him. And we instantly fell in love with the people of Uganda. You know, one-room houses, mini dirt, just dirt floors, little food, no electricity, no water, you know, bathrooms are a hole, community hole, in the whole little community. Let me tell you, that was a real one. I'm still working on that one when we go. But they are the most loving, kind, generous people. And they're always, you know, you say, no, that's an exaggeration, but they smile, just have the most beautiful smiles. And they love to sing and they love to worship. So we're just so thankful that God's called us into that. And it's taken us a while to refine our vision there. But as you'll see in here, we are helping build classrooms there. So real quickly, I wanted to share with you just a couple interesting facts about Uganda. Uganda is the size approximately of Oregon. Oregon has roughly 4 million people in it. Uganda has 48 million people in it. And so when we arrived, it was stunning. There's just people everywhere. And the majority of them are children. The median age, the average age in Uganda is 15 years old because they have a very short lifespan. The longest usually is about 63. So it's the lowest median age in the world. So a lot of children, poverty, you know, underdeveloped country, just everywhere. And so our hearts fell for those children. And God has just supernaturally hooked us up to a school in what's called the Luwero district. They're up there. And most of the children there probably walk 3 to 4 miles every day to go. And that's why we're so excited about our dormitories that Glenn will tell you more about, to keep them from walking so far. Uganda is known as a Christian nation. However, only 13% is Pentecostal, spirit-filled, born-again preaching in that. But 14% now is Muslim in Uganda. The average Ugandan makes $250 a month. Some might go up to $500. So as you can tell, it's a nation with a lot of poverty and lots of children. Most women have 5 to 6 children. It's the average, and they keep having them. So our hearts are just for the children, and it's actually just wanted to share that with you so you know why our heart is towards children and schools. Because secondary schools, which is 7th through 12th grade, 21% graduate, and they drop out mostly once they finish, like, 3rd grade. And it's, you know, that's what will help them. It's Christian education. And I just wanted to share with you the scripture that we love to share with our precious Ugandan family, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Having such a deep affection for you, we were delighted to share with you not only God's good news, but also our own lives, because you have become so very dear to us. Amen. Praise God. So we have a little video we want to show you of our work in Uganda. And Kay said to be Vanna White. Okay.
Glory to God. I hope you enjoyed that. We'll give my wife, Becky, all the credit for that. Kind of to give you, we did that particular where I was talked to Pastor Peter, I think it was almost 2 years ago. And we have finished the dormitory. And I wanted to thank you all because you were also a big part of that. To complete the dormitory, it was actually the girls' dormitory. You saw some pictures of it, but we were able to complete it. And young girls are there, and it's just exciting. And I had called Pastor Peter and talked to him, and the next phase is he says, we need more classrooms. We're getting more and more children. So our goal is to try to build three more classroom buildings. Then the exciting part about doing work in Uganda is it's very inexpensive to build the dormitory. It was only $6,000, and it will house over 40 young girls who live so far away that coming into a Christian school gives them an opportunity to get an education, get some good teaching, and have a future. So we're just excited about that phase and to see the campus starting to grow. But I'll share a lot of things as I minister to you this morning. I want to just thank you once again for your support and giving us the opportunity to be here. John made reference, Pastor John, to the early 80s. And I kind of start with this. Isn't it wonderful to just come across someone that's a believer and knows Christ in your just your everyday life? And that's what Pastor John was to me. I remember I was delivering packages for FedEx to a mountain bike shop that worked on mountain bikes, and there he was. He was someone that was outspoken about Jesus, someone who wasn't afraid to share the good news, and I found him that way and was just excited, because sometimes don't we feel just all alone? And but to have a fellow brother or sister in the Lord that you got to see almost every day to kind of encourage you a little bit, he was that guy. And I remember through the years that we got acquainted with both Pastor John and Pastor Karen is that just being able to fellowship, to sing with them, worship with them, we were hungry for God at that time. And I always remember, I think it was, I don't know if you remember this, but when Pastor John got his invitation to go to Believer Centers in Albuquerque and to be on staff there, I remember seeing him on the road, and I pulled over and I was talking to him, and he was so excited that he had gotten a position and he was on the path to start service to God. And I could see in his eyes, I remember just through the excitement, the little twinkle in his eyes, I saw you all there, and how God had put something on his heart, and he pursued it and went after it. And I don't, your position was kind of just to start, I think, wasn't it maintenance? But, you know, don't despise small beginnings. You know, God wants to use all of us. And what a testimony that was, because through the years, we've seen them through the ups and downs, but they've been consistent. And it's because they love you and love God, and they're pursuing something that is tremendous. And I'm just excited every time that I can come and see what God has done through their ministry, and what a joy. So keep praying for them. Keep supporting them and building them up. And they will truly be there for you. And we'll just believe that the numbers in this church continue to grow. Not only what they're doing, but what you also are doing. Let me, before I kind of start, let's just kind of bow our heads before the Lord. You know, whenever we do anything, we kind of want to just tap into the presence of God. you know, I'm just a simple guy up here, and I need that anointing upon me. I need just to experience him. But you also do need the same thing. So let me just pray for you, and we'll just lift each other up in prayer a little bit. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for this time, Lord and God, which we can all just gather here and sit just under you, Lord God, and to admire you, to love you, to know that, Father, we are your children, that you have a future for us, you have a destiny for us, that you love us all so very much. We thank you, Lord God, that this time wouldn't be wasted, that the hearers of this message will have ears to hear, that, Father, my voice and my message would pierce the darkness and pierce the very world standard and enter the hearts of each and every one, and that what they hear, that they will also find practical use to it, that they would see, Father God, as the words come forth, that they would see opportunities in which they can share and love on people, because that is our purpose, the love that you have for us. You've instilled in each and every one of us a love for one another and a love for you. So I pray that, Father God, whether it's the hearers or me, the speaker, Lord God, I just pray that, Father God, your spirit would flow freely in this place, speaking to every heart. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is so good. I wanted just to start in the 2 Corinthians and just share a few things. You know, when I started to prepare for this message, it was actually a couple months ago, and I had talked to Pastor John a little bit about sharing, but God started putting some things together. I'm not one that just has certain messages I can bring to church. I have to have it always fresh. You know, it kind of gives you how it goes for all of us each and every day. You should always have something fresh to give to the people around you. So just stay on top, and God will share some things. Becky and I had an opportunity last year about this same time to share to a bunch of young people about ministry. We were with some other pastors, and in this little workshop, we were supposed to kind of use our wisdom now that we're older to kind of help these young ministers to kind of know what to do and impart the wisdom to them. And I remember most of them were pastors or missionaries. They'd go and say, save some money. Make sure you have some good 401 accounts. And a lot of it was real just smart technical things that they were encouraging the young people. But I remember when Becky and I got up, is we were almost in tears because we had this opportunity to share, you know, what we would do. And when I think of ministry, I think both of us started just almost to weep, because ministry is ups and downs. Success is never measured by being on the top or being at the bottom. God has a different system, a different understanding. And I want to impart that a little bit to you all, to don't get yourself conformed to this world. Don't get conformed to the things that you see with your own eyes. Open up your heart and let the Spirit of God show you things as God sees it. And that's why it's so important to be in a Word church, a church that teaches the Word of God, that builds you up, because that is the truth. And that truth is going to set you free. It's going to set you on a course that is powerful. And as you face the wind in your life next to Jesus, that you'll be able to see God working through you to accomplish great things. Now, I always thought somewhat that, you know, it's all what the minister does. But you have a rare opportunity, each and every one of you, to be able to tell people in your community about Jesus Christ. And you should be polishing up that skill and allowing yourself to have the confidence to know that God has put that in you, and that you can see that work manifest many results of letting people know what it's like to know Jesus Christ. I always have opportunities to share Jesus, but I think with my experience in looking at it, it's the one thing that the world doesn't understand is there's a door that needs to be knocked on. And I always would say this to people who didn't kind of know much at all except what they've heard about Christ. And as you start to share about Jesus and help them understand, and I've always just said this, I said it to Becky's brother before he died of cancer, is I said, you have to just go through the door. You got to just engage in the things of God. You got to just go to the Father and believe. You know, faith is an interesting thing, is you have to step into it. You have to believe it. You have to walk into it. And many times in our lives, we get a little lazy. But I always encourage people, I said, just get a little taste of God. Go up to his throne room and say, here I am. And I've had so much good response and good, things happening when people just say, and I've had this testimony, somebody else, you know, I did what you said. I just kind of let everything fall, and I just walked up to him and said, here I am, Lord. And God revealed himself to them. You know, we think that we have to work so hard to do things, but we don't. God's going to do it through us. And I just want to encourage you in this portion of Scripture and see how far we go with it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 3, but I started to think about Uganda in the 15 years that we've been there. Boy, there's been some ups and downs. There's been some great successes, but there's been some utter failures too. A lot of it might have been my fault, but a lot of it in our lives is we have to understand it's just the circumstances. We are up against a battle here. There's a world around us that is opposing us, that are fighting against us, that don't like us. And sometimes we fail to realize that we are not of this world. Jesus said it himself. We have to understand we're a part of a different system. And that when we look at life in general, we have to look at it as saying there's going to be opposition. There's going to be difficulties that we're going to face. You know, when I got out of high school, Becky always kids me a little bit because she said, you know, you're just a spoiled little rich kid. And I kind of was. My dad was an architect in Durango. I wanted a motorcycle, he'd buy me a motorcycle. I wanted a jet ski or a water ski boat, he got me a water ski boat. But, you know, my rude awakening is when I got out of high school, I joined the Marine Corps for 4 years. It changed my life. It actually was a different world. I didn't get what I wanted. I launched out in life in a different way. But in the same respect, a lot of time as Christians, we have to realize we're stepping out in God's army in a lot of ways, and not to be militant or anything. But it's important for us to recognize that the world around us is going to be contrary to us. And I want to encourage you in this. This portion of Scripture, Paul is really sharing to the Corinthian church his difficulties. And in his difficulties, I want to ask you, how many face tribulations in their life, or trouble, or sufferings, or afflictions, burdens, despair? They even, it says here in the Scriptures, we'll look at a little bit, that there was a sentence of death upon them. Now, I know you didn't come here expecting this, but I tell you, it's going to help us. And the one part of this Scripture, and I'll just read in chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort. How many believe that God is the God of comfort? It goes on and says, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So basically is what that is telling us, at the same comfort that we receive from God, we share that comfort to one another. Let me just use that. I know you're out there every day. I know finances are hard right now. I know what it's like to know that you don't have money enough to pay for your bills. I know that you're getting a afflicted by just the same things that the world is getting afflicted by. But I want to encourage you. I want to bring comfort to you. As you tap into God, as you understand His love for you, I tell you, you can go much further than you're going right now. As you start to see those circumstances in your life that are difficult, you just raise your hand and say, glory to God. I can get comfort from God. I can get assurance from Him. He's going to help me through this. I'm going to get on the other side. And I guarantee you, you're going to do it. I've had it happen to me time and time again. I've been at the top. I've been at the bottom. And I know the bottom isn't always pleasant. But it's important to realize that when you're in the bottom, you have opportunity to climb up and be on top again, to be encouraged. But it's not according to how the world sees things. And that's where we sometimes fail, is we think success is being on the top. Success in the kingdom of God is rated completely different. It's whether or not we just listen to God, whether or not we follow His directions and guidance. Or when we get off track, we get back on track. We allow ourselves to stay steady to what God has called us to. I think as a pastor, I pastored for 25 years, talk about ups and downs. Talk about times in which things weren't going well. But as long as I could stick into it, I saw the peaks and I saw the valleys, but I was able to get through a lot of them. Amen? Not that I'm not scarred. I am scarred. But those are righteous scars, and they're good. So I want to encourage you. Let's get out there and do. I'm going to sound like a football coach. Let's get out there and fight, 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 team. Because I know it's not going to be easy. But if you just stick to it, you're in a good church, you're getting fed the word, you use that word that you hear here, and you step out in that place where you work or the place that you live, and you're steadfast, I tell you what, you're going to see success. So I want to comfort you in that scripture. Let me read on and look at verse 12 of that same chapter. It says, for our boasting is in this, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. I have that down in the Amplified. If you want to look at that, let's listen to the Amplified. It kind of helps us get a little bit more clarity. But it says, this is our reason for proud confidence and conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world in general and especially towards you with pure motives and godly sincerity. Now, what Paul is really saying to us, like, hey, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I've done my best. I've done my best to be real here. I've done my best to be sincere here. I've done my best to tell you how it is. Because it's because of the love I have for you. And if I read on, it goes on, my motives have been pure and godly sincerity, not in human wisdom, but in the grace of God that is His gracious loving kindness that leads people to Christ and spiritual maturity. It's so very important. And as I approach you today, I don't know, I already used my 17 minutes. Is it okay? We had a little fun with that because he gave me 7 minutes to minister, but he gave Becky 10. But then Becky gave me my 10, so I said, well, I got 17. But I only got 5 left. Hallelujah. I want to just bring to you and help us all understand. Quickly, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 2. And I want to share a couple more scriptures here. But I want, through this message, is to help you the most, is to look at yourself. You are chosen by God. God loves you. How many can say, God gave me a second chance in life? You know, I told you I was a rich kid. went into the Marine Corps, got out of the Marine Corps. I was a wild guy. I wasn't one of those who got saved in church. After the Marine Corps, I got rank really quick in the Marine Corps. I was a sergeant, a platoon sergeant, so I had 40 Marines under me. I was mean, but I trained them the right way that they needed to be trained. And I've gotten really soft since that time. But even when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was so bottled up in that kind of life, I just let everything loose. In my years from 1979 basically to 1981 were my worst years. I wasn't proud about that. I was mean. I liked to fight people. I liked to just indulge in the things that I didn't need to indulge in. But you know, I met this wonderful woman, and her name was Becky. And everything was going great. We were engaged. We were going to get married. And then something terrible happened in my eyes. She got saved. She got born again. She told me I needed Jesus in my life, and I couldn't bear it. We broke up our engagement. We went our separate ways. But then God started to work on my heart. And I always say, if I can experience Jesus and get saved, anyone you know out there can do it too. Because it's all what God is doing to the hearts. Amen. You have the simple task of just telling people that it's real. God loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his son Jesus for you. And it says in the Bible, if you believe in Jesus, if you make him Lord, you will be saved. You'll have eternal life. You'll step in from one world to another world. And things in your life are going to be changed, because even though you go through difficulties and problems, we are going to be the winners at the end. Amen? We are going to triumph with Jesus at the end. So you start to get a perspective of life and said, it doesn't matter what's going on in this world. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to walk in the truth, because I know down the road that I'm going to be a success because I'm staying with Jesus. Amen. And this world that we see today is going to fade away. And we got the promise of a new world, a new body. Hallelujah. I just look forward to that. Amen. Glory to God. But this scripture here, and it's probably very familiar to you, but in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Everybody say that. Be not conformed to this world. Amen? We're not of this world. It goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, excuse me, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen? I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you in this. See your life as differently. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I want to guarantee you something. If you step up to him, if you give your heart to him, your world's going to change. You know, the one thing about Uganda that is the most interesting, you say, when we went to Uganda for the first time, I was in a different world. If you've never been to I know politically correctness says that you're not supposed to say third world nations anymore. You're supposed to say underdeveloped. And I kind of get it. You're from Africa, right? This is a different world from Africa, isn't it? It is. And if you've never experienced it, I want to encourage you. I've talked to Pastor John and Pastor Karen a little bit about down the road of bringing people to Uganda and letting you get to see it. But when you go in the streets of Uganda and you start to see their lives and the poverty, it will change you. It will change you. You know, and for Becky and I, as we started to step in that after 28 years of pastoring, I tell you what, it changed me. But what came up was just a love for those people. My heart's desire to help them. And I know even when we first started there, my son opened a medical clinic. My son doesn't even have a college degree. He's not a doctor, he's not a nurse, but he had a heart and a will to help the people. He went to Uganda and he hired a doctor. He hired some nurses. And our church was supporting all that. His heart was to open that clinic. And I remember when we went there that they were busy at work making beds, a waiting room, so patients could come in and get medical help. He was 22 years old. He'd been in Uganda 3 or 4 times before, but he just wanted to do something. There's something in the hearts of all of us can see great results. Unfortunately, the problem a little bit in Uganda was that things start to get too big. And after a while, the doctor needed more nurses. And the nurses and doctors needed a kitchen and staff for the kitchen. And when things aren't managed well, it starts to fall apart. The doctor, since he was in the village at that time, started to look at opportunities of opening up his own clinic and taking all his patients. And that's exactly what had happened. So when Becky and I went back, all the work that my son had done was packed up in a room. And the clinic was shut down. Becky and I faced many times. We hooked up early days with an HIV clinic there in Uganda of children. Now, we're talking about 50 to 100 children that have HIV. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of medicine for them in Uganda. And usually, we know when you have HIV, is your immune system gets weak. And pretty much everybody in Uganda also gets malaria. So if someone with HIV gets malaria, they usually die. We would go there, and there would be probably 4 or 5 children in a few months would pass, but there was always new children to replace them. We had a heart to help those people. And one of the pictures you can see with the bags is we would bring treats for them, but we were sponsoring that HIV clinic. And I always remember is I always have this mentality here and not in that world is, let's do something that will produce money for them. So how about a chicken coop? We'll get 50 chickens and they'll grow up and produce eggs and they can sell the eggs. But even that, sometimes they started to get too bad. We need security for the eggs. We need security to keep the other people from stealing the eggs. We need to build a fence around the chicken coop. You know, sometimes things that we do here in the States, it's just so simple, but in other places, it just doesn't work. So we ended up just giving them money and helping them that way. But we can talk about many things throughout the years in which we tried to be successful, but we had to learn to adapt and listen to God and not to let ourselves be transformed into this thinking of worldly system and how things work. We need to let God show us. So God brought us to looking at education. How many think that the best thing to do in a country like Uganda is actually to start ministering Jesus Christ to the children? Now, it's interesting, when we look at our schools, we can kind of go, yeah, schools. But in Uganda, Christian men and women that aren't even getting money from the government have a heart for God. They're starting schools throughout Uganda. And they're starting these schools just by the sweat of their brow, hooking on to what Jesus put in their hearts and stepping out. I can get behind that. This particular man that I was talking to, his name is Peter. But this man he just doesn't get tired. He didn't have anything when we first got there, and you can see the slum buildings that he was bringing the children in. But thank God, God directed us to him. So we were able to help him start to create a vision. And through that vision, I let God start to speak to me about investing in schools in Uganda. Finding people just like Peter that would open up their hearts to just getting help and allowing him to move forward through help from us. Not where he's dependent on me, but where I can say, let's build him a dormitory, or let's build him some classrooms. By doing that, it's starting to make that area look like there's a school there. And more children have been going there. Since even this video, I think he has twice as many kids. Muslim kids, Catholic kids, kids that have never had any Christian experience. They're in a Bible, Spirit-filled school that's teaching Jesus each and every day to them. And I want just to share that, to just excited with what God is doing. And I know he's doing a lot of good things here, but I want to also encourage you. You know, I'm not special to go into Uganda. Man, when I finished pastoring and after dealing, John made mention of this a little bit, my mother got sick and got old. I had to become her guardian. Becky's mom had Alzheimer's, and we had to take care of her. And the hardest challenge was Becky's dad lived to 95 with Alzheimer's. We lived with him. This was at the end part of our church where we started to feel the call to Uganda. It was very difficult, but God started to put something in our heart again. And as we moved out to do what he called us to do, I tell you what, it changed us, and it's changed them in Uganda and helped them. My words to you is really to encourage you, just as that scripture said, to comfort you with the same comfort that I have received from Jesus Christ. That whatever you're doing or whatever you've had discouragement in, you know, faith is a funny thing. If you've lost your faith, you can pick it up again. You can start to have a vision again about your neighbor, a vision about your kids that aren't serving God. You know, I know you're praying for them. I know you're making efforts, but I want to tell you, when you get the anointing of God behind you, if you engage Jesus Christ, you know, we talk about the initial engagement to be saved. Remember that? Remember how glorious that was? And how God just started to be so real on the inside of you? You know, you can have that experience every time you engage him. You know, that's the interesting thing about it. Now, here we are in this room right now, and maybe you're thinking about something that you're going to do today. Maybe you think, man, I need to get out of here. I got to cut my grass. But I tell you, you can stop right now. And I'd like you to do that. And let's engage in Christ. Let's focus in on him. Let's start to think how wonderful he is and that he is for you. He's not against you. That he needs you in this world to bring to pass great things. And I want to encourage you also when you think of your place in this church. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, churches like this are rare. And here in Gunnison, you know, I'm from Durango. They're kind of close. And you think, Durango doesn't have churches like this. And I'm honest, you are in a spirit-filled word church. You got pastors that love you and care for you. And they pray for you each and every day. And I tell you what, I believe that there is potential here beyond your wildest dreams. And I went back and thought so much as a pastor, is every Sunday I get a message together. Every Sunday I pray for the people. And more now that I'm in the States, being more of an itinerant missionary, my job now is try to raise money for Uganda, which I am very bad at doing. So pray for me. I just have a problem. I can't ask people for finances. But I want to encourage you. It's never going to happen without finances. But it's also never going to happen until God starts to speak to you and the other people that I talk to. I'm not trying to be a peddler of something. I'm just telling you, this is an opportunity for you to touch other people's lives through the missionaries that come in through this church. I tell you what, it's changing lives. But I also recognize what you're doing here. You're placed in this community to be a light, to be able to understand I'm not of this world system. My world is bigger. It's Jesus's world. Where Jesus even said, you know, if this was my world, I would call my servants and we'd fight and win. But it's not. So he's not going to call us to do that. We're going to fight for his world to accomplish what we know through the scriptures is the destiny and the direction of God. So wherever you are, I'm going to be praying for you. Praying for you that you will be successful and your hearts will go out and you'll touch people in this community. What a simple thing it is. But yet, I know you're facing tribulations. You're facing distresses. You're facing difficulties in your life. But I want to comfort you with the same comfort that I have received from God. It's going to be okay. I always say to Becky, it's going to be okay. And I tell you, it is going to be okay. We're winners at the end. And even if we do go through difficulties, count it all joy, because Jesus received the same thing. And we're not immune from the same things that Jesus received when we go out and touch people's lives. So let's do this. I want you just to close your eyes. I want you to think a little bit about maybe the difficulties you may be facing. What's holding you back? What are your obstacles? What's hindering you right now? Is there fear? Is there just, you've been trying and trying and you're not seeing results? Oh, glory. I see breakthrough right now. I want to tell you, I've experienced where you're at, and God has pulled me through. And I tell you, on the other side, it's glorious. You're going to see great things happen in your life. Those children, I see it right now in the spirit, those children that aren't walking with the Lord, that you've been praying for years, you implanted word in them all their lives. It's coming back to them. They see it now. They receive it. Glory to God. Don't worry. God's working on them. You're going to see a great testimony with your children. Glory to God. How about you? You've been fighting and struggling with relationships. You start to look at yourself sometimes and you say, is it me? I want to comfort you in this. Everything is in opposition to you, mostly because you haven't realized that you've been set apart and that the persecutions and the troubles you're facing just goes along with just what I've exactly said, is that you will face opposition. You will face difficulties. But I want you to be of good cheer and to realize that you're going to come out on the other side victoriously. Glory to God. Father, I pray for each and every person in this place. Whatever their difficulties may be, whatever they've been up against, Lord God, I know that, Father God, as their prayers have come up to you, Lord God, that you are hearing their prayers. And the very answers are just around the corner. Hallelujah. I pray that, Father God, that, Lord, you will help them to have the endurance and the boldness to continue to step the direction that you put on their hearts to see the miraculous start to happen in their lives. And I pray, Father God, as we all pray for Becky and I in our ministry with lives, that, Father God, that we would also be encouraged, that their prayers would be lifted up to us, that, Father God, we believe that, Father, we would have opportunities to share what we're doing in Uganda, that we would have opportunities to go, Father God, to touch more lives, that our vision, Father God, for Uganda wouldn't be the one school that we're finishing up here soon, but it would be other schools like it, bringing the life of Christ to communities in Uganda, to a people that have so little. Father God, for each and every one of those children that lift their hands up and worship you, Lord God, I pray that, Father God, that you would continue to move upon the people of Uganda, upon the churches, upon, Father God, the schools that preach Jesus Christ. I pray that, Father God, the prayers of this church will go up. And we believe, Father God, for change not only here in Gunnison, in this ministry. Oh, we lift up Pastor John and Pastor Karen, Lord God. We pray that comfort would come to them. That, Father God, the very things that they see in their ministry and the things that they've been praying about, we see for, Father God, that those things this coming fall and at the end of summer, Father God, will start to manifest itself. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, you're going to just pour into them blessings upon this church, that we're going to see these chairs filled with people hungry for God. We're going to see the teams out there in this congregation or the individuals that love you, Father God. We're going to see great and mighty things start to happen, Father God, in a fervent way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Well, you know, I believe that God has some good things planned for each and every one of you. And I thank you so much, glory to God, for this opportunity. Before we came, I told Becky, I go, you know, we share a lot in Uganda, but, you know, here in the States, we haven't been sharing or ministering a lot. You know, the thing about Uganda is I have an interpreter, and, you know, I'll preach and share a scripture, but they go on with just that scripture for about 10 minutes. And I go, what else are they saying? But I tell you, 20 minutes in Uganda when I minister is going to be a good hour and a half. But they, you know, the one difference about them there is they love church. They'd be there all day. And I know you love church too. So thank you for the opportunity, Pastor John and Pastor Karen and you all. You guys are all precious to me. I hope I helped you out a little bit. Encourage you a little bit. Glory to God.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks. Did you get something good out of that? Yeah, let's thank them again this morning. So I need just another minute. I just want you to know where we stand with all this, because you know that we have a group of missionaries that we support. And actually, Glenn and Becky are not a part of that group. I told Glenn this morning, you don't rate the wall yet, you know. So, yeah, no. So the reason for that is because as we got to really understand what they were doing over there, we had already picked up the ministries that we have now, and we have not been able to pick up another monthly ministry. We did help them last year with the dormitories. We sent them a special gift for that. We are going to help them now with the classrooms they're going back to do. You're going back in September, is that right? For October. For how long? Few months? They don't know. Until the money runs out. So what I would encourage you to do is to pray about, for right now, that's the way that is. And as our, you know, we take 10% out of every offering and we put it into a missions fund. And we support some monthly and then others occasionally. And right now they're an occasionally. I'd like to see them become a monthly, but there's going to have to be some increase here for that to happen. So, and they're cool with all that. We understand all that. So this is how you can connect with them. I would encourage you to connect with them with prayer, and I would encourage you, you can use that QR code. You can go to itslivesnpo.org. Okay, you can see it up there. Anyway, I would encourage you to connect with them and to support them and help them. Obviously, it's a great ministry. They're great people. We've known them forever. They've been solid the whole time. And we love to tease each other, so that's important too. So anyway, so that's where it stands right now. We'll be blessing them a little bit from our missions fund as they go today, but if there's something that you would like to do, then just connect directly with them for now. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, let's stand up and pray this morning. Thank you so much for your patience today. So as always, there's some great snacks out there. Hope you can hang around. And I hope to see you again tonight at 6 o'clock. Glenn and Becky will be there, and you can harass them with us. So let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin, and the world will be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.